Vinton County on the Air, Episode 9, November 15th, 2013. Well, welcome once again to Vinton County on the Air, Episode 9, and this is the local online audio program highlighting news and information about the people and events in Vinton County, Ohio, and as I mentioned, recorded on this, the 15th day of November 2013. Hope you're having a great day wherever you happen to be and whatever day or night this is that you are listening to the program. I want to give a shout out, as the kids say, to a friend of mine, Francis Butch Lomax, one of the people that I know listens in on the podcast. Francis was raised here in Vinton County and now resides down in San Antonio, Texas. One of the beauties of podcasting, he can listen in just whenever he wants and wherever he happens to be. I met Francis earlier this year. He grew up with my father's family and knew them well, and he dropped me a note this week. So hello to him and his family if they're listening with him in San Antonio. Hey, we're also about to reach a milestone of 500 likes on Facebook. So if you will, please encourage your friends to look for us on Facebook. Click on the important like button so they will see our posts in the news feed. Don't get any prizes for being at 500, but just kind of a neat milestone that I would like to get to. We had our first spat of inclement weather, winter weather here in Vinton County this past Monday night into Tuesday morning, and then as I did that evening, I will attempt to post pertinent information if and when that type of situation occurs, so be on the lookout for that. If we would have a big winter snow event where things get canceled and that kind of thing, maybe we'll even turn to a live stream to keep you informed about cancellations and the like. We'll just have to see what winter brings. And as usual, I continue to ask that you contribute, subscribe, and share. Contribute any news or show ideas that you may have. Many ways to do that. You can do so by email at VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. And that is the great way to share large quantities of information. Send me a poster or something like that for your event. I can pull the information off if you don't want to write it up. There's also voicemail. My media company through which I produce this podcast and a couple others has a voicemail number, 740-569-3254. Your message will be delivered to me, and I can use that information within the show. Of course, there's always Facebook. Most of you are aware of the show through Facebook, and as you probably already know, there is a Facebook page for Vinton County on the Air. That's what you search for in the search bar on the top of the Facebook page. And you can post information to the Facebook page, and as long as that ability does not get abused, I'll continue to leave that opening for postings by anyone. And then we also want to mention that we have a Vinton County on the Air Twitter account. The handle there is the @ Vinton County OTA, Vinton County on the Air. So lots of ways you can contribute. And again, we are happy to publicize your nonprofit and community group oriented events. And if you have questions about whether or not something qualifies there, just give me a shout and work things out. Subscribing, we talk about that to those of you who are dyed-in-the-wool podcast lovers. I'd like to ask that you do so if you can. Do so through iTunes if you're an iPad, iPhone, or iPod user. We're also available on the website Stitcher, and then you can find all of our episodes if you're not a subscriber, even if you are a subscriber, I guess. You could find them at DBK Media Services. And if you don't use a podcatcher but you want to quote-unquote subscribe, you can do so via email. Go to the DBK Media Services website. Click on the Vinton County on the Air category listing, either on the right-hand side of the page, or I noticed for an iPad, it's down at the bottom of the page. then click on an episode posting. And within the episode posting, you'll not only see a little description of the episode, you also see what I call the collage for the episode. You'll see the calendar, but as far as subscribing goes, there's a place where you can enter your email address into the subscribe button. Click the submit button, and then you'll get an email into your account almost immediately, on which you click on a link in there to verify that it's a valid email address. And then henceforth, you'll get an email just after we publish the shows letting you know that there's a new episode out there. And finally, and I can't stress this enough, a couple of you already do this, and I really do appreciate it, but on Facebook, once we post something, you can always share something out, be it a post for a meeting that comes up or something like that off of our calendar events, or, and more importantly for me, I would ask that you share out the posts for the each of the episodes. Still having quite a bit of an effort trying to translate this Facebook page into listens on the podcast. So if you'll do that and share it out, that helps. It's amazing. I can see how many people see each post, or that means whether it comes up in their newsfeed or not. And just two or three shares makes a huge difference. So if you're hearing my voice, please, please share it out. We've got the usual good lineup for you. Well, first, as usual, we'll provide you with a rundown of the community events here in Vinton County and our calendar of events. And then Lori Gruppenhoff of Lake Hope State Park is joining us again. She's going to drop by to tell us about a craft show that's coming up. That's also in our calendar of events, but she'll provide a little bit more details. And then we'll welcome in Rebecca Long, the Vice President of Administration of Rio Grande Community College, and she'll bring us up to date on everything that's going on at the MacArthur Center. Some people may not even know that there is a MacArthur Center, so you'll learn a little bit about that today. We'll go to the calendar events right after we get back from this. Well, in our calendar events, we still have quite a few activities coming up here in Vinton County we want to keep you apprised of. The first being tonight, November 15th, there is an FCCLA Chinese auction taking place at the Vinton County High School. They are going to start that at 4 p.m. It runs until 9 p.m. It's fun for the entire family. They have a cake and cupcake walk, a lottery wreath, split the pot, bake sale, and many more Chinese auction items with a door prize. So that is going on this evening, November 15th from 4 to 9. Tomorrow we want to remind you, if you're in MacArthur, that the Cub Scouts are continuing the last part of their Cub Scouting for Food program. Last week, you will recall that they went out and distributed bags for into which you can place non-perishable food items to be picked up this Saturday. So they are going to be going around from about 9 a.m. until noon, picking up and looking for those bags of food. The food items are maintained locally. I believe CARE gets some, St. Francis Center gets some, and PAC 91 thanks you for your continued support there. Any questions about the service project or Cub Scouting in Vinton County, you can call Keith McManus at 669-1415. Tomorrow morning, also from 10 to about 11:40, there's going to be a kids movie morning at the Herbert Westcote Memorial Library. They are showing The Adventures of Mickey Madison, Copperhead Treasurer, tomorrow. And you recall we talked with Clint Walker, the director of the Herbert Westcote Memorial Library, last episode, episode 8, in which he kind of gave us a preview of that film as well. Tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., the Wilkesville United Methodist Church Free Harvest Dinner is going to take place. That's just on the outskirts of Wilkesville there. That everybody is welcome to attend. Sunday, November the 17th, 2013, all I'm aware of is, other than the normal church community or church activities. There's also Awana at Grace Baptist Church from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. On Monday, November the 18th, we want to mention that this will mark the beginning of the Helping Hands Christmas Angel Tree Project that runs until December the 16th, along with the Herbert Westcote Memorial Festival of Trees that takes place also at the library, and that runs to December the 22nd. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Vinton County Commissioners are going to have their normal meeting. And at 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, November the 18th, there is a hunter safety course at the MacArthur VFW. That is from 4 to 9. On Tuesday, we have the St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry is going to be in Radcliffe from at 9:30. And then again in New Plymouth at 1:30 to 3 p.m. We want to mention that the Vinton County boys basketball game is first game, and this is a foundation game, so I don't think it matters as far as records and so forth, but the Unioto Shermans are going to travel to Vinton County High School, where we will have a triple header, I've been told, freshman, JV, and varsity. That gets underway at 5 p.m., then the JV game, and then the varsity game. On Wednesday, November the 20th, only thing we have on the calendar, I believe, is the St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry is going to be at the St. Francis Center from 8:30 until 9:30. And then I guess one other thing, the MacArthur Village Council is going to meet in their regular meeting 7 p.m. at the MacArthur Village Hall. On Thursday, November the 21st, the American Cancer Society's Great American Smokeout takes place, and the Vinton County Health Department encourages you to help someone quit smoking, or if you're a smoker, please consider ceasing your smoking for the day. Maybe it will lead to bigger and better things. Also on Thursday, November the 21st at 5 p.m., Meals of Grace, a free meal at the Grace Baptist Church takes place. You can come join the folks at Grace Baptist on East High Street for a good meal and good fellowship from 5 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. At 7 p.m., the Sojourners Chinese Auction will take place at the Vinton County High School. This is their fifth annual Chinese auction. The doors will open at 4:30 p.m. and the drawings begin at 7 p.m. All proceeds from the event will provide holiday activities for the Sojourners foster youth and transitional living participants. Persons bidding in the auction do not need to be present to win. Of course, we'll be back on Friday, November the 22nd, but we do want to kind of bring you up to date on a couple activities that's taking place that day. The Vinton County High School girls basketball teams will be in the Paint Valley Classic at 5 p.m. I cannot tell you exactly when they play. I know that's when the Paint Valley Classic gets underway. And also the VFW Post 5299 Ladies Auxiliary Chicken Noodle Baked Steak Dinner is going to take place that evening, November 22nd, from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Let's see here. Menu includes chicken noodles at $6.50 or baked steak for $7.50 with mashed potatoes, green beans, coleslaw, roll, drink, and dessert. So those are the things that are going to happen between now and next Friday. A couple things further out, Vinton County High School girls will be in action also on Saturday the 23rd at Alexander. I believe that is a TVC preview. Vinton County High School boys will be at Athens at the TVC preview on that same evening. And the Lake Hope Craft Show, which we're going to talk in more detail with Lori, is going to happen on the 23rd as well. On the 25th, the Anti-Bullying Community Forum is going to take place at the Vinton County Middle School. More information as that gets closer. And Vinton County Wrestling gets underway on November the 30th. And we don't want to forget Christmas in Downtown coming up. You can listen to a previous episode, actually episode 8, in which we talked with Teresa Kimes Brown about all the different details of that. And there is a Facebook page if you want to kind of get a little bit more detail as those become available. She is posting, and believe me, she's posting quite a bit out there on that Facebook page. You can get more details about that. A big day in Vinton County for that reason. And, of course, during the entire remainder of November and into December, the Helping Hands Christmas Angel Project is going forward at the Herbert Westcott Memorial Library, as is the Festival of Trees. So we encourage you to kind of take advantage of those things. Want to mention that we have been including a segment of the Vinton County On the Air community calendar, from which I derive this segment of the program, on our blog post each week at DBK Media Services. So you can see more details than I actually go over and plan a little bit into the future. You can just click onto the calendar and go into December, for instance, if you want to. And you can always drop us a line at VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com or post your community events to Facebook, where we'll include them in our calendar of events.
Wants a barbecue, Sam wants to boil a ham, Grace votes for bouillabaisse stew, Jake wants a weenie baked steak and a layer cake, he'll get a tummy ache too.
And we'd like to welcome back to the program Lori Grupenhoff. Lori is with the Lake Hope State Park. Welcome, Lori.
Thanks, Bruce.
We want to talk to you today about something that's coming up at the park. That is a craft show on November 23rd.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it'll be our first fall craft show. We actually had our first spring craft show earlier this year. It was actually on Mother's Day weekend. It's something I've been wanting to start for a couple years, just to bring some of the local crafters from Vinton County and even surrounding counties to the park. And since we have a wonderful venue now, it's a great place to do that. So we started off fairly small and had the spring craft show, but it turned out really well. And a lot of the people were wondering, you know, are you going to have another one? And I said, well, I really hadn't thought about it. But if you guys are interested, then maybe it's something we could work out. So finding the time in the fall, because we are busy here at the park, and sure, with our Roar Day event, you know, the last Saturday of the month, I didn't want to coincide with that too much, but the best weekend worked out was the weekend before Thanksgiving. So I didn't want to, with MacArthur having their huge Christmas event the first weekend in December, I thought, well, this will work out perfect. You know, it'll give people some options and things like that. So we've got a decent crowd that's going to show up for it. So hopefully we'll get some people out here and they can look around and enjoy the day.
Sure. Craft shows can mean so many different things. What types of crafts have you got on the bill so far?
Well, so far, for people that have returned their applications, we've got a gentleman by the name of Brent Hanning. He does wood inlay. It's really unique. It's different types of wood, different shades of wood, and he inlays it, and it's beautiful. And he actually does fairly well at our craft shows and at Roar. There's a Susan Heiser that will be coming with painting.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Doris Fuller. You know, some of the people here that are coming are, like I said, local people, but Doris is actually one of our cottage guests. She stayed at our park for several years, utilized our Laurel Lodge with her family, and then stayed in cottages, and she was interested in coming. So she's coming, and she's going to bring some jewelry that she's made and some wooden items. And then I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Kathy McCorkle.
Sure.
She makes beautiful pine cone wreaths. So she was at our spring one, and she'll be back for our fall one as well. Susan Neary, she makes this really unique wire jewelry. But now we're talking, it's wire, but it's like a gold wire or sterling silver wire. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, the way she twists it to make hummingbirds and dragonflies on bracelets. It's absolutely beautiful. So she's really popular as well. Lorraine Radun's going to be here, and everybody loves Lorraine.
Right.
She makes gorgeous Christmas ornaments. So if anybody's in need of Christmas ornaments for their tree this year, this will be the place to come on the 23rd to pick up some of Lorraine's bulbs. They're beautiful. And then Susan Tripp from Zaleski, just 4 miles south of us, will be here with her candles. So, yeah, we'll have that and a few more people coming in. So it should be a good day.
Okay, and the hours for this?
The hours for it are going to be 10 to 4.
Okay.
So stop in during that time, and the restaurant will be open from 11 to 8 that day. So come with a empty stomach, and you'll leave with a full one if you decide to go to the dining room. It's food there is excellent, as I'm sure a lot of people know.
Certainly.
And they have their pizza oven open now too.
Ooh.
They don't have the facade up, but yeah, the wood fired pizza oven is up and running, and the pizzas are delicious.
Okay, so this is at the Lodge, Lake Hope.
This is at the Lodge. Yes. Uh huh.
Okay, and it might be a place we kind of mentioned earlier that might be a place where you can find that hard to find Christmas gift.
Well, you know it is. I mean, especially I think we all have those people that we buy for every year. That every year it's a struggle to find something to purchase for them because they have everything they need or want.
Right.
And you know that's one nice thing about craft shows or these type of shows is sometimes you can find that unique item that you just can't go to the mall and buy. You know, if a husband's looking for something unique for his wife, you know, this wire jewelry would be beautiful because it is so unique. So, yeah, there's unique things to be found here.
Okay. For additional information, who do they call or where do they go?
They can call here to Lake Hope State Park at 740-596-4938. They can talk to myself, Lori, or any of the staff here will be aware of the craft show and the times. They can check us out on Facebook. I'll be putting up posting up there for, you know, if I have any additional vendors, I'll add those on there so they can just watch our Facebook page.
Okay, and we'll put this on our Vinton County On the Air calendar of events as well.
Great.
With any information you can give me. Lori, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care.
A foggy day in London town, I had me low, I had me down. I viewed the morning with such alarm. British Museum had lost its charm. How long?
On Vinton County On the Air, we are talking today to Rebecca Long, the Vice President of Administration for Rio Grande Community College. Welcome, Rebecca, to Vinton County On the Air.
Thank you very much, Bruce. I'm very happy to be back.
Great. We want to talk with Rebecca today about Rio Grande Community College's presence here in Vinton County, and that is known as the MacArthur Center.
So, correct, yes.
Yeah, Rebecca, let's start with you describing just exactly what is the Rio Grande's Community College MacArthur Center and maybe some of the history behind it.
Excellent. Thank you. The MacArthur Center is actually, I'll call it a joint venture between Rio Grande and Vinton County School District. In 2010, the school district approached us and said, we have some extra space if you are interested in offering courses. And we said, absolutely. And in the span of about 3 weeks, we managed to clean out a couple of classrooms and put together a schedule. And we began that fall semester in 2010 with about 14 students at the MacArthur Center. And so we have grown and expanded since then, but it continues to be a partnership with Vinton County Local Schools. They are just excellent to work with and are generous enough to provide us with that space to offer courses. We've actually taken on a couple of additional rooms. We now occupy 4 rooms in that facility, and they just continue to be helpful and supportive of everything that we are doing.
Okay. And why did you do this, or why did you look to do this in Vinton County?
Well, we actually, Rio Grande Community College is a public entity that has a permanent tax levy in our 4-county region. And that 4-county region is made up of Galea County, Jackson County, Meigs County, and Vinton Counties. And so the residents of those 4 counties actually pay a property tax to help support Rio Grande Community College. And so for that property tax, they will receive a little bit lower tuition rate than students from the rest of the state. But we also felt like they just needed a little bit extra. And we know that it is 46 miles from MacArthur to Rio, and that is not an easy 46 miles. And many of the students in Vinton County just don't have the means and the resources and the time to drive to Rio Grande and take courses, but they have the desire and the ability and the need, and so we decided to bring the courses to them. We have working professionals, we have parents that need to put their children on the bus and get their children off the bus, and the drive just made it very difficult, if not impossible, for them to pursue an education. And so we felt that we owed it to the residents of the community to bring this education to them, because they do pay that tax levy, and we wanted them to know that we take that seriously and that we are putting their money towards improving the education of the region and the economy of the region.
First of all, you sound like you've done that 46-mile trip a couple times.
Once or twice.
Okay.
It's also 46 from MacArthur to Meigs, if you're curious.
Wow, triangle then, huh?
Yes.
Okay, you touched on the differences there between the community college and the private university. That's a kind of a different type of model, is it not?
It is. We believe, actually, we are the only of our kind in the country. We have a public-private partnership. Rio Grande began as a private entity back in 1876 as a private college and existed as just that, and still does, the private institution. But in the 70s, when Governor Rhodes was in place, he recognized a strong need for technical education, education devoted more to workforce, and lower tuition, more affordable education in our region. And at the time, community colleges were beginning to open up throughout the state. And so they looked at the physical plant that already existed in Rio and thought this is a great opportunity to utilize resources that already exist and make it better and add to. And so they created the community college in 1974 as a partnership with the private university. So every student from the state of Ohio is actually a community college student for their first 2 years of study. And what that means to them is that they receive a lower tuition rate because we do receive state dollars to help keep that tuition rate lower. After 2 years, all students become a student of the private university, and the tuition rate does go up a bit because we no longer receive that state money to help keep that tuition lower. Now, there are lots of scholarship opportunities in place to help students make that transition, and so it's not as bold as it sort of looks on the outside. We work hard internally to make that an easy transition. The interesting thing is, Bruce, the students don't really know the difference.
Okay.
And we're okay with that. We like it that way. When you're sitting in the classroom, you are a Rio student, and we don't differentiate between a community college student and a university student. All of our students receive instruction from university faculty. All of our students have the benefit of the fitness center and the swimming pool and the athletic teams and all of those things that traditionally come with a residential four-year campus. So the students really win in this arrangement. They receive those extra things and the lower tuition costs that would come with a community college. And so it's complicated for those of us behind the scenes and seamless and beneficial to our students.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, I guess, you have a Meigs site. Are Meigs and MacArthur the two sites, off-sites from the main campus that Rio has?
They do, yes. We have two sites, Meigs and MacArthur. The Meigs site actually began very similar to the MacArthur site many, many years ago. It was operated out of an older building in Middleport, and we had about 70 or 80 students. And the community got behind the growth of the center, and we actually partnered with the Community Improvement Corporation in Meigs County. And they built a building that we now lease from them, and we offer classes in that building, and we have about 385 students in that facility in Meigs County. And it's a state-of-the-art facility, and a lot of the same principles went into the Meigs Center. Students were site-bound, 36 miles I make that drive frequently also to Rio. And students just couldn't always get to campus. And so we brought the opportunities to them. And so we see MacArthur, sort of what Meg's was a few years ago, seen the growth in MacArthur actually faster than we saw the growth in Meigs County. And so we're very optimistic about the possibilities for the future of the MacArthur Center.
So you're using things you learned at the Meigs Center, maybe moving up the learning curve a little bit faster here in MacArthur.
Absolutely, good and bad. Mm-hmm. We look at things and say, yeah, we tried that in Meigs and that was a disaster, so maybe we should just skip that and go on to the next attempt. And so we've sort of worked out some of the kinks in Meigs, and we feel like that's made it a little bit easier for us to operate the MacArthur Center.
Okay. Getting back to the MacArthur Center, let's just kind of lay some of the courses out there that one might encounter if you were going to the MacArthur Center.
The MacArthur Center maintains a pretty basic general education curriculum. It's perfect for a student who is just starting out, who wants to take a couple of courses and begin that journey, or for high school students who want to pick up a couple of courses before they begin their college career, whether it be main campus or another institution. So you start with your basic math and English that everybody has to take when they go to college.
Sure.
And then we expand into some of the other general education courses, your histories, your psychologies, your computer courses. We run an interesting course called Intro to Allied Health Careers, which is very popular. Careers in healthcare are growing. Everybody knows that. We have a lot of students that come to us that say, I want something in healthcare, I don't know what. That's a great starter course to learn about the options in healthcare and how many years to get this degree versus that degree and sort of determine what career path could be right for you. So it's still a pretty basic schedule, but it's still a great opportunity for a student to get started.
What time of the day do you offer classes in the MacArthur Center?
We're there from sun up till sundown almost. We open up at 8 o'clock. We begin our first round of classes at 9 a.m., and we actually go until 9 p.m. 4 days a week, and then we close earlier, of course, on Fridays. We offer daytime and evening classes because students have a variety of needs. Many parents need to be in class while their students are in school, and then we have other working adults who work during the day and need to take their classes in the evening. And so we maintain that daytime and evening schedule. And I'll tell you, one of the great things about working with a facility like the MacArthur Center is we're very small and dedicated to student needs. And so if we have 7, 8 students that need this particular math class at this particular time, we're going to do everything we can to get that class offered. And so there's just a lot of scheduling flexibility that comes with being a small facility.
Okay. You kind of touched on this too, but and we were talking before we started taping. There, you service what we'd call the traditional students, and then those that, like you mentioned earlier, may need to put their kids on the bus or be around, the term you mentioned, post-traditional students. So
post-traditional, yes.
We always called it non-traditional, but as you explained to me earlier, the government's changed that. So we're looking at post-traditional students as well.
We are. You know, we have to get the lingo right.
Right.
And our facilitator of post-traditional students is very quick to correct me when I refer back to that non-traditional student. We do. We refer to our adults as post-traditional students, which by definition are students who are 25 years of age or older. You know, the average age of a student at Rio Grande is 27 years old. And so we hear a lot of adults come to us and say, I can't go. I'm going to be the oldest one in the class, and I'm not going to understand, and I'm not going to fit in. And we try to tell them, no, we have many adult students who come to us, and they're all very scared, they're all very nervous, but the MacArthur Center is a friendly, small, supportive atmosphere, and it's just a perfect place for these post-traditional adult students to start their college career.
Do you have any idea, Rebecca, what the mix of MacArthur Center is? Is it mostly non-traditional? I'm sorry.
It is.
Post-traditional?
But that's okay. I won't correct you. Amanda's not with us. I won't correct you. It is. We do have a couple of young students. We've had students as young as 15 and 16 who are local high school students who are picking up some courses up through students in their 60s who are coming to school for the first time. Life has changed. Something has happened, and they've just determined that now's the time that I need to do this, either for my family or myself. And so we are more adult students than we are traditional aged students, but we do have a mix. And it's interesting to watch the dynamics in the classroom because both groups can learn from each other.
I know my son, who goes to another university, he really enjoys having older people in the classroom, the post-traditional students, and because they seem to really want to be there and get involved and offer a completely different perspective sometimes.
They do, and many of our faculty actually prefer the adult students in the classroom because they've been there, done that. They're focused. They have a goal. It's a no-nonsense approach to education, and you know, our 18 and 19-year-olds aren't always that focused when they come to college.
Well, that kind of goes with the age sometimes, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Youth is wasted on the young, they say, yeah.
Yes. Let's talk, maybe you mentioned this, but how many students do you have now going to the MacArthur Center?
We have 120 currently attending classes there at various times.
Okay.
Now, some of those 120 do take classes either at our Meigs facility or some of them do go to main campus. Given a choice, they usually go to Meigs because they prefer that smaller atmosphere. So we do have some students who will drive one day a week or 2 days a week for a science class to main campus or the Meigs Center. But most of the 120 are from Vinton County, and they only take the classes there in Vinton County.
Brandy and I talked to you back in September of 2011, and at that point you had 99 students, so you've grown. How are things changing at the MacArthur Center? I'm sure as you've seen needs, you've changed things. Maybe personnel have changed and so forth.
We have made some changes. We did have a big personnel change recently. When we opened the facility, the gentleman who managed it was Jake Bapst, and most of, I think, Vinton County knows Jake, and he was kind of a legend and is a big part of the reason that this relationship began with the local schools. Jake retired, and so after a couple of months of crying and sobbing and begging him to stay, we sort of adapted and went on a search, and we found the perfect replacement, a gentleman named Brad McGrath, who comes to us actually with some higher education experience from Hawking. And so he was able to bring a new perspective, and he has a lot of the same philosophies as Jake. He carries on that tradition. He's also brought some new ideas and some fresh ideas and is really doing some great things. We also hired an additional staff member, Misty Napier, from Vinton County, as a part-time assistant. She works with our students during the day and is helping them develop schedules and you know, find some of the resources that they need to be successful. So it's been a few months of change, but positive change, I think. Jake is still involved, for those of your listeners that remember Jake and love Jake, and I think may even teach a class up there in the spring. So, you know, he will always have the MacArthur Center in his heart. But we've just kind of have the best of both worlds now because we have two individuals who are dedicated to the center, dedicated to the region, and dedicated to higher education. And I think that we probably are going to have some great things going forward.
You mentioned earlier that you had are close to completing a needs assessment through the Voinovich Center. How will this impact the MacArthur Center?
That is sort of yet to be determined. We think that it's probably going to sort of create as a roadmap for the future. We did partner with the Voinovich Center on a study to determine what are the growth opportunities for the center. But a big portion of the study was around economic development and not just let's add programs for the MacArthur Center, but let's add programs that will lead to job opportunities in the community, that will help our students be more employable and become employed, and will also be programs of interest for our students. And sometimes that's a tough combination to find, especially in our rural communities. You know, we all know that economic development isn't the greatest in our local area all the time. And so we are trying really hard to find those programs that are going to lead to economic growth in the community. That's very important to us. And so we hope to have that survey closed out here in the next couple of months. And once we do that, we really plan to kind of develop a roadmap for the future and begin to talk about offering entire programs at the facility so a student could actually complete a degree. Now, we did have, Bruce, we did have three young ladies graduate from RIO in the spring who took almost all of their courses either in MacArthur or online through the MacArthur Center. They went to campus for a couple of courses, but they were MacArthur Center students. They began with us, they finished with us, and they walked across the stage in May and received their associate's degree. And that was just an unbelievable moment for all of us and something that just motivated us to want to bring programs to the center and the community. We want to see more of those graduates.
That's great. What about things for the future? Do you have any courses for high school students, for instance?
We are looking at that. We've been approached by several individuals who say, hey, we'd love to see some opportunities for our top high school students. And so we've actually prepared a survey that we want to conduct in the local schools here sometime before Christmas break to assess the needs and desires of our high school students. And then we're going to begin some short-term planning and some long-term planning on how we can take some of these top academic students at the high school and just give them some great collegiate opportunities before they ever graduate from high school, so that when they go to college, they'll have some college credit under their belt and some great experiences under their belt that maybe they wouldn't have been able to have otherwise.
One thing I'd like to do, Rebecca, if we could, is kind of talk about the representation of the community college personnel throughout Vinton County. You have a couple local board members that I know played a big part in this.
Absolutely. Andy Adelman has been on our board, I think, since the community college began. He has been a huge part of the Community College Board. He is our senior-most member of the Community College Board in years of service, not age.
Right.
I feel necessary to add that, years of service.
He'll appreciate that.
He'll appreciate that. And has just been continually devoted to the students of the county. And then Jody Walker is our other member from Vinton County. And both of those gentlemen have just really advocated hard for the residents of the county. And they were the big pushers for this center. You know, their job on the board is to advocate for their residents, and the residents of Vinton County should be very proud of them. They've done that very well. And they said, we need more opportunities for our students. This is a need. And we were absolutely happy to comply. And they continue to support the center. In fact, Jody's going to teach a class for us there next semester. He taught a class last year. He's going to teach an economics class for us in the spring, and he loves it because he gets to meet the students and talk to the students and experience firsthand the way that we're able to sort of impact the community. And so we're so appreciative of the service that they give us. You know, it's a thankless job often. It's not a paid position. It's a volunteer, and they have gone above and beyond for the residents.
Sounds interesting.
Yes.
One of the objections or one of the things that someone might throw up about not going to the MacArthur Center or not even considering would be financial aid. Is that something that your staff can help with?
Absolutely. And you are exactly correct in what you say. It is a barrier. And the great news is there are programs to help students pay for school. There is need-based aid that's determined by your family income. There is merit-based aid, which is determined by your academic credentials. And our staff will sit down with you one-on-one and walk you through that whole process. You know, financial aid is a federal form.
Right.
And anyone who's ever done a federal form, we don't really need to say anything else about it.
Known as the FAFSA or something.
Yeah, FAFSA. The FAFSA, yeah. The Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And the first time you do it, it can be a little bit overwhelming. And so we actually will sit down with you and assist you in completing that form. And, you know, there's a lot of paperwork that follows it, and we're there to work with you every step of the way. That's just another advantage to beginning at a facility that has 120 students. We're able to offer that additional customer service. And so we will walk you through that entire process, make sure you understand what you're doing and that you're completing all the necessary steps to receive that financial aid.
Well, it surely sounds like an opportunity for people here in Vinton County to take advantage of it. It's something we've not had throughout my lifetime, I know, as I've lived here until just recently. So you certainly appreciate that. What about, you know, there I'm sure are topics we've not covered today and someone's thinking, well, I've got this question and that question. How does one go about getting more information than what we've talked about here today?
Well, a couple of ways. Number one, you can always stop by the facility located in the Vinton County Administrative Office Buildings, the old high school.
Right.
We're there 8 to 9 Monday through Thursday and then 8 to 3 on Fridays.
Okay.
You can also check out the website. We have our schedule posted on the website. If you go to rio.edu/MacArthur, that will get you some information. Or you can call. The phone number is 740-645-7993. It takes you to the whomever is working the facility at that time, and they can answer your questions. Or you can email us, rio-macarthur@rio.edu. So you have a variety of ways to get a hold of us, you know, and we'll meet with you at a time that works for you and just talk about your options. And, you know, we have people that come in and say, I'm thinking about this, I'm not sure. That's great. Let's just sit down and talk about what might work for you.
Okay, Rebecca, we've pretty much covered, I think, everything. Is there anything else that we're missing?
I don't believe so. We just encourage everyone to stop by. We will be at the Christmas parade. We do that every year. You'll see us at Christmas, and we will hand out copies of our schedule. And we usually have beads and candy and some other little trinkets. And so come down and see us at the Christmas parade.
All right. We've been talking with Rebecca Long, the Vice President of Administration of Rio Grande Community College. We appreciate you being here, Rebecca.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the center.
And so that's going to put a capper on Episode 9 of Vinton County on the Air. We wish to thank Lori Gruppenhoff and Rebecca Long for being our guests today. Please remember, if you have any show ideas or things to contribute to the show, please do so via email. That's VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. As always, I need you to contribute, subscribe, and share. Contribute your show ideas and community information. Subscribe via email or a podcatcher like iTunes or on Stitcher. And share, that is, tell all your friends and help spread the word about Vinton County on the Air. So until next Friday, for Vinton County on the Air, this is Bruce Knox saying take care, and I hope to see you on the internet.